The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A new conference, a new standard.
If you are Oregon, who do you want? Ohio State, Indiana, or Penn State? There's only one scenario where Penn State gets in.
This is a Big Ten Championship Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Online at modspdx.com.
Holding comes in from the left, sets up, turn. It's going to be a pass. Gabriel could run. He runs. He scores! Touchdown, Oregon!
Big Ten Championship Week with Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Holla at your boy.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday, everybody. No Danny today. He went to the doctor about his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you need to rest that voice, sir.
Yes.
You had that thing cranked up all the way yesterday. His mic.
It was up. Yeah. It was definitely up further than normal.
He was at a whisper.
Yeah.
He was at a whisper yesterday. This is just a sign to everybody. Don't yell at your dog, huh?
Right?
Don't yell at your dog.
Yeah. Be humane.
I think he was being humane by just yelling at his dog.
Okay. Yeah.
But he is he got the doctor's orders. Take a playoff. So it's Rust and Dust. We ride today.
There we go.
Rusty Dusty.
Let's ride.
Edition.
Regulators, mount up.
Mount up. Let's get it. I'm happy for this Thursday. Sun is shining for like the last time. We'll see the sun for like months, I think.
Probably.
We got like tsunami warnings on the Oregon coast. That's a little dicey.
Yes.
I should call my grandma. Damn.
It took you till just now to realize that?
Yeah. I just looked at if you don't know, there's an earthquake off of the coast of Eureka.
Eureka, yes.
Eureka, California. I get Eureka and Yreka mixed up.
Yeah.
Yreka on I-5, Eureka on 101.
There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Eureka, weed. Yreka, the booze barn. That's how I separate those two.
There we go.
But there's a
Eureka right by weed?
Yeah. No, yeah. No, Yreka is near weed.
Yreka is right by weed.
Okay. Eureka is near Humboldt County, which is where the weed
which
is grown.
Which is weed.
Yes. It's all very confusing.
It is very confusing.
Are we all following along? And now you know why I get so confused with Yreka and Eureka? Holy crap.
Y'all will buy some drugs.
No, yeah, Yreka's just past the Oregon-California border there.
Yes, I thought.
All right, now that we've followed that, a 7.5 magnitude earthquake off the coast of Eureka, California.
Yes, the number has changed a couple times. I've seen 7.5, I've seen 7.3. I think the latest one I saw was 7.0, which is still a gigantic earthquake.
That's big.
Yeah, still big.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's why we live on what is called the Ring of Fire.
Yes.
And no, it is not when you eat something spicy.
Yeah. Or just Johnny Cash.
Neither one of those things.
Yeah.
This is a different one.
It's a geological phenomenon.
Tectonic plates.
Yes.
As growing up in a home where my stepdad is a geologist, we should be worried about the big one, guys.
Oh yeah, was it the old? Is it the Cascadia fault line? Is that it?
Yeah,
yeah.
We are not. I will give us this: far better prepared than Seattle is for the big one it happens.
Sure,
be ready for the big one.
Another reason to not like Seattle.
There was a big one though off the coast, and so we got like a tsunami warning, and this is why I said should call my grandma. Yeah. She lives in Florence. That's where, from Florence, like down to into California, that's where you have tsunami warnings.
Yeah, about Florence is the northern end of the warning zone.
She's good. She's up on.
She up on a hill?
She doesn't live on the beach.
Okay.
Nobody lives on the beach in Florence.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Yeah. She's across. She's across the 101. She's
there we
fine.
Go.
Yeah. Grandma's going to be good. I should call her.
You should call her.
I should probably call her. But we got that. That's not why I'm happy today.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Rust, you have a documentary review that you have to get to today.
Oh, daddy. Yeah, I watched the Yacht Rock doc last night.
On Max, huh?
On Max, yes.
Okay.
And it's a Bill Simmons joint.
All right.
Wow. It just, oh my gosh. So the first 15 minutes of this thing.
I got a chubby right now.
Oh, I got a chubby right now?
Oh, dude, it was so good.
They started with, I got a chubby right now.
Well, no, that was my emotion going into it.
Oh, that was you?
That was me.
Holy smokes.
Exactly. So many things to take out of this fantastic doc.
Okay.
You hear so much from Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins, which I didn't realize exactly how much those two collaborated over the years.
Yep.
You got a whole lot of Christopher Cross in there too. Christopher Cross telling you how he got his start in the music industry by selling weed.
Oh, are you going to spoil this documentary by giving us your review?
No.
Okay.
That's about what I'll leave it at. I will say that, go ahead and try to Google image this fellow. I need a mustache exactly like Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Names don't get better than that.
Yeah, right? I think this was also the first time I ever saw Boz Scaggs' face. I've only ever heard his songs and heard him audibly, but I don't think I've ever laid my eyes on Boz Scaggs.
I don't know if I've ever seen Boz Scaggs either.
Right? Exactly. And
that's not what I thought Boz Scaggs would look like.
Right?
Especially not in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, that was he just looks like some dude. He just looks like some dude.
This is before we had record labels like glamming everybody up and cookie cuttering you and putting you into a box. Like when you look at some of like the great musicians back then, some of them obviously were sex symbols. Elvis Presley.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like obvious sex symbol.
He was famous for his hips.
Yes.
They wanted to keep him off of television for that.
Has anybody ever looked at Van Morrison before?
Not a sex symbol.
not a sex symbol.
Not a sex symbol.
Not in the slightest.
No.
But it was like, yeah, he's selling records right now.
Yeah.
We got to a point where it was just like, nope, we need to manufacture a cookie cutter. We can auto-tune this person enough to make them sound good.
Well, and they, in part of this documentary, they noted how part of the death of Yacht Rock was due to the MTV generation and the music video, because it glammed up.
Because they saw Boz Scaggs.
Because it glammed up. It became more about glamming up the band and the visuals there than about the actual music a lot of the time.
Yeah. People were looking at Hall & Oates and being like, guys, come on. Grow up.
Although I will tell you what, you ever seen the music video for Rich Girl?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good one. That fur coat and the shades, and it's a good one.
You can call me Al, Paul Simon, and Chevy Chase.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You know?
That little kind of two-step they're doing with the trumpet and such?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Good. Now, the thing that you always get stuck on with Yacht Rock is sometimes on Yacht Rock Fridays, we will play Yacht Rock, and you say, I go, is that Yacht Rock? And you say, it's Yacht Rock to me. It's personally.
Yeah.
Do they define what Yacht Rock is in the movie?
Ooh, they try to. There is one music journalist where she says it's kind of like the Supreme Court's definition of pornography.
Okay.
I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
That is literally what you say.
Yeah.
When you're defining Yacht Rock.
Yeah. I am the smartest man alive.
So you like the documentary. It was an A+ for you.
Oh, A++. Fantastic. Highly recommend. I'm probably going to watch it a couple more times.
Hey.
It was really good.
All right.
Yeah.
You're going to watch it a couple more times.
Probably. Yeah. It gave me a new appreciation for Bill Simmons in the way that this was produced and presented.
All right.
Yeah.
Did anybody surprise you in the documentary, without spoiling it for the people out there?
There were some Christopher Cross surprises. I didn't realize exactly how much success he had, like how successful his career was, like from his first album Okay. And this isn't spoiling anything for anybody because it's on record, but he was the first person to win. I think they called it like the Grand Slam of the Grammys. He won Best New Artist and then also like Song of the Year, Album of the Year, and Record of the Year.
Oh.
All from his first record.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah, right? And so, yeah.
That seems pretty good.
Right? That seems all right. And I think they said that the last person to do that, or between him and then I think it was 2017, they said was, oh boy, who was it? I don't think it was Billie Eilish, but it was somebody fairly recent.
Beyonce.
Was it Beyonce?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm just going to assume Beyonce.
It was somebody fairly recent. All right. Well, because you have to remember it was also new artist in there, too, was one of the four.
All right.
Yeah. But yes, highly recommend. Go check it out. It's awesome.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Yacht Rock Doc.
The Yacht Rock Doc.
Loved by Jeff Russ. Two thumbs up from Jeff Russ.
And even in the word documentary, they spelled it D-O-C-K. Umentary.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Right?
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Look at Bill Simmons making all this money off these documentaries. He did the WWE one, the Vince McMahon one, too.
Okay, yeah. I haven't checked that one out. That would be a good one. It might infuriate me a bit, but...
Knowing you, it will.
Yeah. Vince McMahon is a terrible person.
Yeah, that's pretty much... You watched the doc. You got that. You got that.
Got that.
Uh-huh. Nailed that one. 2 minutes before the show started, this popped up. The tsunami warning has been canceled for Oregon and California.
That's good.
I still should call my grandmother.
You still should, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a reminder. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to write that down. Call grandma. And make sure everything's okay. Earthquakes are scary. But yeah. I was reminded of this. I had a buddy who just moved to Arkansas a few months ago, and he sent me a picture of...
Like on purpose?
Yeah. He works for Walmart.
Yeah. That's where it is.
Yeah, there's a difference between working for and at Walmart, and I tell him this all the time. You work for, not at. He works for Walmart, so he moved to Arkansas. We got a picture of, like, he and his family, or his kids and stuff, in the bathtub with their bike helmets on, because they had tornado warning.
I was going to say, where is this going?
Yeah.
In the bathtub with bike helmets.
Yeah. They had tornadoes to worry about.
Okay, yeah.
Like, you got tornadoes, you got, like, bugs and animals that'll kill you all the time.
Some of those bugs, probably, like, the size of your hand and stuff.
Dude, huge bugs. Uh-uh. Loud bugs.
Yeah.
No.
We're very lucky here in Oregon.
We really are. You know, if the big one happens, so be it. Yeah. I'll take it.
That's the worst of our concerns is the big one.
Yeah, we're overdue, and sometime in the next, like, 500 years, it may happen.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, it is probably going to start shaking as we're talking right now.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. I'll take the big one. I'll take a few months of rain. I'm all right with that, you know?
Going to have to mark that one.
Ah, dang it. That was clean, and that was completely unintentional. Yacht Rock documentary.
Yes, Yacht Rock documentary.
A lot of Michael McDonald, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, because he was largely the start of the...
How many times did you sing?
Oh, yes.
How many times did you stand up and start dancing?
A lot. It was kind of late night, so I had to try to keep quiet, you know what I mean, as to not wake up the rest of the household.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's
a
chance that I got up in my old boxer briefs.
Oh, these are mental images I cannot get out of my brain there, Jeff Rust.
You opened that door, sir.
And I am here for
it. You opened that door.
All right, let's get this show on the road. We got a lot that we got to get to. We'll have our NFL picks. This show is red hot in NFL picks, by the way.
Yeah.
On the season, Jeff Rust is in dead last at 28-22-2.
That's a good season. That's just a good season, period.
Yeah.
But to be in dead last at that mark,
you are bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
Six games over 500 there. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny, 32-19-1. And I am 34-17-1 this year.
Yeah.
We are on a heater.
Yes, we are. Boys. We're on a tear. Yeah.
We are moving with the units right now. Don't tell my wife. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Because we're up some units right now. Times are good.
Yes, times are good.
Times are good. We don't need this golf fund to be to be noticed by anybody else.
Yeah. No.
All right?
Yeah.
This cannot happen.
We're going to start upping those greens fees.
No.
Find a nicer place to play.
Dude, the boys' trip is getting upgraded. Huh?
Exactly.
The boys' trip is moving. Huh? Let's go. It's been a good fall. So we'll have our picks coming up at 2:00. We're waiting on Danny to submit his picks. He went 3-1 last week. I went 2-2. And you know what? Yeah. Bryce Young, you know, and Matt Eberflus, what are we doing, guys? Like, the end of that Bears game, we serious right now? Because what the end of that Bears game, it wasn't, Matt Eberflus getting fired was just something to make me feel better.
Yeah.
Because the total, I took the over at 48.5. Okay?
Yeah.
They kick a field goal. We head to overtime at 46. Barring a safety, we'd have hit the over.
Yeah, well, and I'm
or a tie. That would have made me real upset if that game would have tied at 46. Dan Campbell would not have let that happen.
I was a dirty hit on Trevor Lawrence and a Mac Jones fourth quarter away from going 4-0.
All right, hey.
Because I had the Texans at -5, hey, and the Jags scored 2 touchdowns in the
all right
to lose by 3.
Okay, well, let's get this show on the road. We gotta get this thing moving. A lot that we need to get to. We'll go college, NFL. Where we got to start? Hey, we're talking NFL picks. Let's go with this Thursday night game. We got a beauty of a Thursday night game.
Nice little game.
Where the North is everything that we thought it would be and a little bit more. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan. We get Thursday night football game tonight, and it's a doozy, man. We get the Lions hosting the Packers on Amazon Prime Video. And we're going to hear Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And Al Michaels, he'll be juiced up for this one. There is a definite tone that Al Michaels gets when he does not want to be at the game.
Yeah.
Like, he lets everybody know if it is a game not worth his time.
He just sounds like a snooze alarm.
It really does. This game, no, we're going to get the best of Al Michaels tonight. And deservedly so. 9-3 Green Bay going to 11-1 Detroit. I've heard in your update that the Packers are winners of 7 of their last 8. That lone loss coming to the Detroit Lions.
Correct.
When they played a few weeks ago, I think it was a month ago, almost to the day, right?
What about that? Let's see here. I've got the tab up here somewhere. Yes, that was Sunday, November 3rd.
Yeah. So we're just right over a month ago today in Green Bay. And remember that game, it got away from Green Bay.
It only wound up being a 10-point result, but it wasn't that close.
Well, there was a sequence where they missed a field goal. Detroit got the ball, and they took a 10-3 lead in the second quarter, and then Jordan Love threw a pick six, and the wheels kind of fell off. Like, Detroit got a 17-3 lead, and they were real comfortable. In the final score, 24-14, not as close as that game really was throughout the course of it, because it got away after Jordan Love threw a pick six. He has cleaned up, though, and he's played really well over the last handful of games. The three games since, they've obviously rattled off 3 wins in a row and been playing lesser opponents. The thing about the Lions right now is when you go on a 10-game win streak, when you have this amount of kind of pressure, force, you're playing and you're really running up the score. You look at Taylor Decker's out, Josh Pascal out, Wisenrique out, DJ Reader out, Mekhi Wingo's on the injured reserve, Malcolm Rodriguez got put on the IR, and that's all this week since their last Thanksgiving game, right? They are getting banged up and at all the wrong spots. This is what happens over the course of the NFL season. We say it all the time, like the war of attrition. The weeks add up. The injuries start mounting up. And you're,
well, but I think it's too, because always says it's a 100% injury rate, basically, in this league.
It is. Injury luck has so much to do with team success. And we see this every year where a team comes out and they go on a run. And I don't know if we've seen a team go out with the run and just the sheer dominance that we've seen of this Lions team and the way that they're beating some teams down, it's really hard to outscore your opponents. What was it? They outscored Jacksonville and Indy 76-12 in a 2-week run.
Yeah, Jacksonville 52-6 and Indy 24-6.
You are
consecutive weeks.
Absolute when a 9-point game, when that anything over like a touchdown, 2-point conversion, that's a blowout in the NFL. Mm-hmm. 10-point wins are hard to come by in the NFL. Well,
and they've also got a 52-14 win over Tennessee, a 42-29 win over Seattle, 47-9 over the Cowboys.
Do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like they, and that is insanely hard to do. We know that top end, they are really good, but your depth is now being tested if you're Detroit. And this game has got so much riding on it because, look, as dominant as Detroit has been, the fact that they have, by a wide margin, the largest point differential in the NFL at plus 180. They also only have a 1-game lead in the NFC North. And there's only a 2-game lead over the Green Bay Packers, who are sitting third.
Mm-hmm.
Like at this point in the year, when you look at this, you go, whoa. Usually we'd look at a Thursday night game, say short week. The great thing is both of these teams played on Thanksgiving Thursday.
Yeah,
so they both have had a full week of rest. But you're looking at it going, all right, this is where it starts adding up, right? They had the short week the week before. Now you're sitting there going, giddy up, because it's go time in the final push of the season. We always look at the NFL calendar, too, in quarters, right? Mm-hmm. The first four games, and this is what they used to do before, is a 17-game schedule. Obviously, yes. It's a little bit different now. But now you're in that final push of the season where you're jockeying for that playoff position. There's zero margin for error in the NFC North. That's what makes this game so great.
Yeah.
Is that, one, you have a team that is superior in Detroit. Like, they have been playing lights out all season long. They've rattled off 10 wins in a row. They are getting bit by the injury bug right now. The war of attrition is winning against the Detroit Lions. You have a Green Bay team that is steady as they go. Jordan Love is playing more consistent football. And it's not like they didn't have success against Detroit the first time they played. Like, one thing I like about Matt LaFleur, and he gets criticized about this often, is that they are consistent with their identity and what they do. And that's like organizationally from the top down, whether it's the way they draft to the way they build their roster through free agency or lack thereof. Although there has been an uptick in recent years. Now you look at it and you say the consistency with Matt LaFleur, they still ran the ball effectively against the Detroit Lions the first time they played. They stuck to their identity, mm-hmm. and albeit they still ended up losing by double digits in that game because of the pick six by Jordan Love. If their identity is going to be to grind out this Detroit team, Jordan Love's got to take care of the football, right?
Yes.
If they do and they come out with a win here, all of a sudden now you're looking at the final push of this regular season for Detroit. It is zero margin for error because you could go from first to third and have a stretch of your season where you run 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
And you could finish third in your division because they also have a meeting with the Minnesota Vikings coming up as well.
Yeah. Well, and who saw the Minnesota Vikings being at 10-2 at this point in the season, led by Sam Darnold?
Sam friggin' Darnold. Let's go, Sam Darnold.
It's good for him. You know,
I love that story. And I love that Kevin O'Connell loved up Daniel Jones after they played the New York Giants. And that Daniel Jones goes and signs with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you can become like a quarterback reclamation home. Like, you can become the rehabilitation center for quarterbacks like Nick Saban did for former head coaches in his coaching tree at Alabama. I don't know if that's the hill you want to live on, if that's the mountain real estate you want there.
Right.
Because that's a volcano and that's going to blow up and you're going to be, what was his name? Harry Truman, right? Wasn't that the guy who lived up, refused to evacuate Mount St. Helens? You get Harry Truman yourself there.
Not
Kevin
that Harry
O'Connell.
Truman.
Not the presidential one. The other one.
The other one.
The guy who refused to leave Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
That is going to happen to you and it's going to blow up spectacularly. But they won a lot of football games with Kirk Cousins. You're winning a lot of football games with Sam Darnold. But you're never going to have the guy that's going to pull you to playoff wins, to pull you to a championship. And that's what you're looking for in your quarterback. That's what all great markers of quarterbacks have. That's why these teams fall in love with these guys and say, all right, we're hitching our wagon to Mahomes or even Tua, the guys who you think may have it, Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, who haven't gotten to that mountaintop like Mahomes has or like Matthew Stafford finally did. But you saw that the Rams were willing to say, we're going to hitch our wagon to Matthew Stafford because we think he's a guy who can take us there. And he was.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And he did.
He did. Sam Darnold isn't that. Kirk Cousins isn't that. Daniel Jones won't be that either. You don't want to live that life if you're Minnesota, but they are a fun damn team to watch because they are so good everywhere else. They are so good. Brian Flores in that defense, lights out.
Yeah.
The NFC North is the most fun division in football, and we thought it was going to be heading into the season. I don't think it's playing out the way we thought it would, with Minnesota being that team who's nipping on the Lions' heels.
Right.
But we have three teams that are in this hunt, and it is electric, and we get Thursday night. That gap can be closed between the Packers and the Lions. And if it doesn't, look, if the Lions do what we think they should, and they're only 3-point favorites in this game,
mm-hmm.
if
at home,
well, it's the injuries, man.
Yeah,
the injuries and the fact that Green Bay is playing really good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lions take care of it and they're at 12-1 and they knock Green Bay down one more peg. It's not like some sort of indictment and the Packers season's over by any means. But that gives them a lot of clearance that they can work with, because the Lions schedule down the stretch, Green Bay this week, Buffalo next week. I think you get the Bears wedged in there, and then the 49ers, which are reeling, and then you wrap it up with the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. That's a, like, think about this stretch if the Niners weren't absolutely busted in their own right.
Right.
Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, San Francisco, Minnesota to end the year.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. This is where the rubber meets the road for the Detroit Lions, and it starts tonight in Thursday Night Football. I'm excited for it, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. It should be a good one. I'm going to be glued.
Do we think any differently of the Detroit Lions if they lose, though? Like, if this is a week where we've seen all of the injuries that have mounted up.
Mm-hmm.
They are in command. Sometimes it is you get to this point where you win 10 games in a row, and riding that high, it comes to a halt relatively quickly.
Because right.
if it doesn't happen this week, like, it's careening down the path to where next week you look at that and you say Buffalo, Detroit. Do we think any differently of the Detroit Lions if they stub their toe this evening?
I think it depends on if it's within a field goal or so, or if it becomes like a 10-plus-point loss.
See, yeah, I would tend to think, like, if it's a field goal loss, you just go, water.
Yeah.
But it almost, like, getting that kick in the shorts before that Buffalo game.
Yeah, see,
it may help you.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it may just kind of be that recalibration. It's going to be easy to get up for that Buffalo game.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Those are, right now, you watch those two teams, two of the three best football teams in the NFL right now. Philly's is the other one that is playing the best football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City, I've said this, I know that Chiefs fans always get upset when you don't mention them. They're 11-1. They're not playing the best football in the NFL. And if you are being honest with yourself, they aren't.
No.
They're 11-1, but they're not. The three teams that are playing the best football in the NFL right now are the Lions, the Bills, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Full stop.
I will say, though, I think that you want to make sure that as the Lions, you take care of business tonight against Green Bay, because the last thing you want to do is play Buffalo next week and lose that one as well. And then all of a sudden, even after a 10-game winning streak, you've dropped two straight heading into Soldier Field.
That wouldn't be good.
That wouldn't be good.
Well, I mean, Bears right now.
Yeah, but still,
you can get the Thomas Brown bump. You can get the Thomas Brown bump.
Well, and division opponent.
Addition by subtraction. Matt Eberflus gone.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Eberflus gone. Best thing it's ever.
I think we had this discussion a couple weeks ago where you get the bump of the new coach and whatnot, and how it didn't seem to always play out as well as we thought it did. But if I remember correctly, the record was a little bit under 500.
Yeah. Well, because when you fire your coach, you're really bad, but
exactly.
You just play better.
But you just play better, but that when you're just under 500 in those fired coach bump games, most of those teams going into it are not just a shade under 500.
No, they're not.
So it is technically an improvement.
Hey, we got something. I, when when we were talking about Philly, I was thinking about this on the way in. If you look at the teams that are playing just complete football, Detroit, obviously we get to see them tonight, Buffalo and Philly. There's one thing about the Eagles season that is happening right now that it's getting talked about a lot, but if he doesn't hit it, we shouldn't judge him for it. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. We're talking about the three best teams in the NFL. Lions will see him tonight. Bills playing lights out football. And the Philadelphia Eagles playing at a ridiculous clip. And Saquon Barkley is on pace right now to break Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing record. He's got 1,499 yards through 12 games this year. He is on pace in 17-game season to rush for 2,124. That's his pace. Record is 2,105 by Dickerson. That's insanity, by the way.
Yes.
But I've been thinking about Saquon Barkley in the MVP conversation, and Josh Allen obviously is going to probably get a bigger bump because of the fact that he's a quarterback. It's a sexy position and running backs are seen as archaic, but what he's doing this year is bananas. And I saw a little clip of him in a back and forth that he had with a reporter where the reporter asked him, is this the most fun that you're having playing football? And he thought he was being asked about a fumble. And so he went on this answer where it's like, yeah, I don't fumble a whole lot. Like, I think I've only fumbled like twice, you know, all this stuff. And another reporter goes, he asked you if you're having fun. And he was like, oh yeah, definitely having the most fun. And you can see that with him, right? And as I was watching that clip, it just reminded me of that mic'd up segment where he was on the cusp of his career rushing record. And Nick Sirianni came to him.
Single game.
Yeah, for career high. Though. Yeah, career high rushing record for a single game. And it was against the Giants. And Sirianni went up to him and asked him, hey, do you want to go for it?
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, good.
You sure?
I promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
And it's moments like that where you hear him saying, this is the most fun I've had. You know, these moments and what we're doing right now is, it's having that impact on him. Or I guess that was against the Rams. Was that against the Rams that he did that? But you look at a guy who is on the cusp of chasing that history, and people will knock it down a peg because it's going to be in a 17-game season and not in a 16-game season.
Right. Yeah, whatevs.
And to me, that is irrelevant because of the fact that you hear things like that. This guy's been playing for the long run, right? And what it's going to do to kind of vault him forward and vault this team forward. And right now, it feels so much the vibe feels so much different with Philly this year than it did last year.
By the way, yes, it looks like it's against the Browns because he had 255.
Holy smokes. That is insane.
9.8 yards a carry.
And the ramping up that you're seeing with him, because oftentimes when we see these single season rushing records, right, or any single season record, you have over the course of the year, they're trying to ride him for that record, right? Look at his carries that he has had in some of these games. He has had 14 carries for 66 yards, 18 for 47, 10 for 84, 17 for 147. My God. We're not seeing the 30 carry workhorse omens work that you're getting. 25 carries. I think he's only gone over the 25 carry threshold two times this season.
We've got three. He had 27 against Jacksonville.
Oh, 27 against Jacksonville and 26
against yes, the Commies and the Rams.
In the Rams where he ran for 255 yards. Okay?
Man.
ramping him up and having the ability to do that with him, where you're the steady push of Saquon Barkley over the course of the year, mm-hmm. and not riding him so hard early in the year. Dude, this guy is putting up crooked numbers as a running back in the NFL when it, and I've been saying this for a few years now, the pendulum has been swinging back because linebackers are getting smaller, defensive linemen on the edges are getting smaller. You're going to start running the ball more effectively again. I don't think we're ever going to see an NFL where the fullback is the focal point of an offense and telling you where the offense is going. But you are seeing more and more the importance of tight ends and running backs in the National Football League because the physicality is going to be coming back. And Saquon Barkley, behind that offensive line, which is one of the best, I don't care if he does it in 17 games. Because you look back to comments like that, mm-hmm. you go back to when they could have given him carries and worked him early in the year and given him 20 carries a game early in the year and kind of wear him out. The dude would have got it at some point, no matter what. But that is why Philly is right now playing so well.
Yeah. And the fact that running backs just don't do that these days. They don't put up these numbers these days anymore. Like you said, the pendulum is starting to swing with the linebackers and stuff. But it's not often you have your 20 to 22 to 25 carry a game backs anymore. And and so to be talking about a guy breaking Eric Dickerson's record that has stood for, we got to be coming on close to 40 years now. It's bananas in this time's NFL.
And in, back in 1984, too, the thing that I don't like is that they say, well, he's got an extra game. Well, I mean, how many carries were running backs getting back then compared to what they're getting now? Now, Saquon Barkley is getting a massive load. Like, let's not get that twisted. But Eric Dickerson, the year that he ran for 2,105 yards, he did it on 379 carries.
Ooh.
379.
Man.
Saquon Barkley is on pace to have 349 carries for 2,124 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, put that into perspective there. So you take that, you take that
30
game.
Yeah, 30 fewer carries.
And he would still be 20 yards over that. It's nuts what he is doing right now. And it's in a passing league where the league is built completely different. Like, the game has changed. But that record, that would be insane to see Saquon Barkley break that this year of all years.
Oh, yeah. I'm pulling for him to do it. And just to think that the Giants decided, hey, you know what? Let's just hang on to Daniel Jones instead.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done it in New York, though.
No, you're not wrong.
He wouldn't have done it in New York.
No.
And that's one of the things that Giants fans, you may be able to have that feather in your cap. He wouldn't have done it in New York either because your offensive line sucks. It hurts even more though that he's going to do it for your hated rival
in division.
And he knew exactly where he was going to do it. He said, "Oh, Philly, great offensive line. They'll give me money. I'm going to go break the rushing record then."
Yeah. It's just, damn. It feels like he's been on a single, a season long, you know, double barreled salute to his former team.
I call this, like on the golf course, there's a game called Wolf, where you pick a partner, and you can divorce the partner, like in it's two-on-two in your foursome.
Mm-hmm. How does that go in the bar afterwards?
Well, I call it...
I can't believe you left me.
I call it... No, if it happens on a hole, I call it the FU tour. And nothing gets me more dialed in than if I have a good shot and somebody's like, no, I'm going to take somebody else. Nope. That's when the FU tour starts.
Here we go.
And this is what Saquon Barkley is doing right now.
Yeah.
He is on the FU tour, and it is the most fun thing about watching the season.
Basically, Saquon Barkley, the entire season has been putting his hair up in a ponytail with a scrunchie and being like, okay, let's do this.
Heck yeah. Ooh, we got this question. Should all records be based on averages?
I mean, I think that's fair,
not the totality of them.
Yeah, in terms of how many games you got.
Yeah,
and
so
such,
like the home run record would be over how many games. So you take the compilers out of it for career and for single season.
So like with the home run record, though, are we talking about? Because how long ago was it they switched from 150 to 162 or 154 to 162.
Yeah.
I mean, that was quite a while ago. And in that point, that's a, 5% of a season, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that seems like a smaller difference to me.
I immediately said yes to that number, and I have no idea the math on that.
Yeah.
You said 5%. I just said, uh-huh. And I'm just going to go with it.
Well, because did it used to be 154? Was that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got that's 8 games out of, take 8 out of 162, and because 10% would be 16, yeah. 8 would be half of that, which would be 5%.
All right.
Yeah. That's how this brain works.
Okay. The most odd interview in college football next on The Fan. Automatic to the grill. File this one away under the most bizarre head coaching interview that you will see of the cycle. It is not as bizarre as the report that Condoleezza Rice was under consideration for the Browns. Remember that report?
Yeah.
That was not true. But Bill Belichick has interviewed for the North Carolina football job. Mac Brown, remember he got canned.
Mm-hmm.
73-year-old Mac Brown, who said, I just can't do this anymore. They decided that, you know what we'll do? We'll go ahead and we'll get younger at the head coaching position. We're going to interview a 72-year-old Bill Belichick. There's reports that are out there that, look, Belichick wants to get back in the game. He wants to get back into coaching. Everybody assumed that it would be in the NFL because of the fact that he is chasing Don Shula's all-time record, right? Wins record.
Yeah.
And he wants that. But Belichick interviewing for the North Carolina vacancy, boy, that is something. I don't see Bill Belichick being a recruiter, let alone a dynamic recruiter.
No.
This is a guy that is really good friends with Nick Saban. His personality is a lot different than what, and I think we've seen that over the Manning cast, right? His personality is a lot different. And if he wants to sit there and say, you know, I will go into living rooms and people will listen to me because I'm Bill Belichick. I have fistfuls of rings of Super Bowl championships as a coordinator and a head coach. Yeah, that will go a way, but I don't know if Bill Belichick is the guy who, for college football, and college football is changing. It's getting more professionalized. We know that, right?
Yeah.
But in there is going to be this transition where college coaches will translate to the NFL and NFL coaches will translate to college football far better because that relationship and that dynamic is going to change between coach and player. And it's going to be a dramatic shift. And you're already seeing the younger coaches who get it and the older coaches that do get it as well. These are the ones that are thriving, right?
Right.
Whether it's Dan Lanning or Kenny Dillingham, you look at Georgia and Kirby Smart. He has adopted the new age and the new way that you communicate with players in that relationship building far better than a lot of these other guys do. But Bill Belichick, I don't see that working because you're going to go into homes, and this is the same thing with Pete Carroll that we said yesterday, right? The coaches will go into homes recruiting and say, you don't even know if he's going to be there in a year, yeah, let alone in 4 years if you're planning to go there for 4 years.
Right. And I think, yeah, I have a hard time believing that Bill Belichick wants to have anything to do with recruiting anyway.
Anyway.
To me, he just seems like the dude that he wants to focus on the coaching, the X's and O's, and get all that stuff figured out. And I don't know if he does get another job in the NFL if they're going to give him player personnel duties as well, or if he is, you know, shown that maybe that's not his best role.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that he could do, and this would be the play if you are North Carolina and you are interviewing Bill Belichick, and Washington fans, you should probably keep an eye on this, is that Bill Belichick had his son, Stevie Belichick, as his defensive coordinator in New England.
Mm-hmm.
He is now the DC at Washington.
Yes.
If Bill Belichick takes a job in college football under the understanding, hey, I'm taking this job to hand over to my son in a few years,
uh-huh,
I will get us off and running. Then we hand it over to him to be the head coach. Maybe that is the play and how he's interviewing for these jobs. I don't know, but this seems like a weird fit.
That school has to trust then that Stevie Belichick will be the next answer.
Yep.
And that seems like a...
That's a reach.
Yeah, that's a reach. That's a big leap to take.
All right, let's get to the Big Ten Championship game. I am off tomorrow because I will be en route to Indianapolis, Indiana for Oregon and Penn State in the Big Ten title game.
I'm jelly.
Where is the game won and lost in this matchup? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.